Don't make me turn this podcast around. You're listening to the Reno Dads Podcast. We're dads talking about dad stuff. We're doing the dad thing in the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada. But we're talking about things that all dads and parents can relate to. We'll share fatherly war stories, discuss manly things, and even get into the tender moments of fatherhood. We want you to be a part of the conversation, so join us and listen in. Oh, and be warned, dad jokes ahead.
Hey, Mike here. I'm a Reno native and I love this city. Married and father of two sons, I geek out over marketing, sports, and perfectly placed puns, not to mention random facts. Did you know a jiffy is the scientific name for 1/100th of a second?
Hey, this is Jonathan. I'm new to Reno, single dad with two teenagers in high school. I'm enjoying life here in the northern Nevada area, taking advantage of all the great activities and new experiences this growing city has to offer. And I spend my free time swimming, skiing, and playing tennis. I find myself talking to the dog a lot. She seems to be the only one who understands me most of the time I'm at home.
David here. I'm a father of two boys and have been married for almost 11 years. I'm a fifth-generation Nevadan. I'm a former undercover CIA officer serving in crazy places, notably in North Africa during the Arab Spring.
Okay, welcome to the Reno Dads Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking with one of our Reno dads who's written a great article we've had up on the site for a while about situational awareness. And this is really one of the articles that David put up. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show, he's a former CIA officer, and he really honed his skills and understanding of what situational awareness really is during that time. And he wrote a great article about how to really teach that and, you know, get your kids sort of understanding about where they are in the world and what they're, you know, sort of faced with. And so maybe, David, you could, why don't you just, you know, sort of launch right in? I mean, you can tell us a little bit about what you were thinking about when you wrote the article and, you know, really what you see as the sort of important things that we, you know, we need to, you know, be thinking about.
So the article is inspired in a couple parts. The first is having young kids. I can't stand the aloof, the not aware of what's going on, the head in the clouds concept where...
Preach!
You're just like, hey, wake up. So we started thinking, what's a way to do this? And the best way to teach a kid not to be aloof and to pay attention to the surroundings is teach them how to pay attention to their surroundings, be situationally aware. And it came to a head after my son got off on the wrong bus stop and realized... wait, these houses aren't the ones that I live in, and I have no idea how to get home. So, of course, we had been working on some things, his confidence in talking to other people, asking for help, that kind of stuff. So, being assertive. And he, of course, found his way home. But being only 8 years old, trying to find your way home in a neighborhood, in an area you're not familiar with, is a challenge. So, we're thinking this is how we can help him become more aware of where he's at, pay attention more, because he's been to that intersection countless times. He's just never recorded in his mind, like, what this intersection is, how do I get home from here, what's, you know, those kind of purposes, being aware of that that area, being aware of the situation that he was in. So that's where we started with, one, I guess it was my annoyance with the aloofness, but two, the safety parameters to help him figure out how to get home safely.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I'm also a former military, and I think part of it is in the training of being just observationally aware, right? You want to see your surroundings and you want to know what's around you that could be helpful. Obviously, if you need to find a way through something and figure out a problem, you want to find things and be aware of things that could be, you know, not so helpful or even harmful. And I think it's an interesting thing as a concept, you know, to start kids in this process. Like, are you driving through a neighborhood and say, hey, you know, this is, you know, relative to our house, this is, you know, pretty close, or, you know, those types of things. And, you know, so some of the steps you might be taking in order to do that, I think a lot of dads, this is one of the things that a lot of dads probably feel very similarly about, which is, I don't want my kid to find himself or herself in a situation where they can't navigate and they don't know what to do next.
Yeah, and one of the things I thought was really interesting in the article, Dave, is that because at first I wasn't sure what to expect, because it's like, well, listen, kids aren't in the CIA and kids aren't in the military, so what? And what are you going to be teaching them? And what I one takeaway I thought was great that you mentioned is that the key, one of the keys to situational awareness, was just noticing things that are not quite as they should be. And you want, will you expand on that a little bit and sort of that central principle?
So our testing environment, and I think of it like in the military, like we don't go through a class situational awareness 101. It's you learn these things because your life depends on learning these things. You learn these things by being surrounded by other officers who are exceptionally good at these, experienced officers who could point out what's going on here, right? And to get to what this meant for the kid, our operational environment for my son is Target, you know, the local Target right down the street. And we go in there and we play the game. And to understand what is the right or what's the baseline for the environment or what the environment should be, we already all practice situational awareness for the most part. We go into Target and we know if something's wrong. If people are running around like crazy, throwing things, we're thinking, all right, something's not right here. We probably should leave or react or do whatever.
Or it's Black Friday.
Or it's Black Friday, right? And then I think I actually mentioned that in the article. There are certain holidays, the weekends, the environment changes. That baseline changes depending on the situation. You should be aware of that. But helping kids identify things that are off, things that aren't going or things aren't going the way they should at a certain time. People running is an easy one for children to see. Things thrown around on the shelves, like, or on the ground, things like that tell you maybe something's going on that we should pay attention to.
Well, I really like what you just said too. And I think about, you sort of started down this path a little bit. When you're talking to a child who may not have the same vocabulary, you need to sort of put it in terms in, that they will understand, and they'll say, oh, that doesn't look right, or that doesn't look normal, versus what you and I as grownups might say to each other, whoa, that guy looks like, you know, sketchy or something like that. You know, here's a guy wearing a trench coat in the middle of June. Like, that doesn't look right, and I'm going to keep my eye on that guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's keeping an eye, paying attention. It's just raising that threat level. And check out the article. It talks about the different threat levels, where white, you're oblivious to everything going around you. To red, you're actively engaging. Whether engage means fleeing from the scene or getting in the scene or doing something, you're actively doing something about the situation.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, in light of some things that have happened in recent days, you know, where, you know, kids are presented with some, you know, obviously very scary situations, and, you know, we can talk about what like that might feel like. And I know they're doing training in the schools, and it breaks my heart a little bit to have to say this, but like part of it is like sort of extending that awareness, unfortunately, to their just everyday lives, which, you know, I don't think we have more threats out there per se, but it's just that, you know, we just know that things can happen very quickly. And we know that, you know, we could be presented, any one of us and any one of our children could be presented with a situation at any time that would require them to really assess the situation and make a determination if they can, you know, get out of there, you know, safely, and how to get out of there safely. I mean, that's unfortunate, because I feel like, you know, we're dealing with this in a way that I think is, you know, again, sort of heartbreaking. But I do think that it's something that our kids need to be aware of. And I think that the training doesn't have to only be at schools, and it doesn't have to. But I also don't think we need to scare anybody. Right. I think you do this in a way that's sort of, hey, that looks like, did you see that car? That looks a little funny. Like, and I'll do that just with my, you know, son driving. I'm like, wow, that, you know, that car looks like it's a little bit dangerous because like the wheel's wobbling or something like that. You know, yeah. You pick those little sort of details out.
So one of the operational environment of Target isn't so much to look for a threat, because, you know, you can't learn anything if you're always in an environment that's always 100% good. But you should be able to look for the anomalies that are off, that are actually going to happen in a Target. And that could be some person dropped their bag and didn't realize it. You know, being able to grab the bag, get the person's attention and say, oh, here you go, or holding the door for somebody who's coming in after you. It's just being aware of the situation, understanding what the norms are, and it's okay to hold the door for that person. It's not, you're not, right. You're not the security keeping right. people out, but right. That's also teaching them the societal norm as well.
Right. You see somebody who is, you know, carrying something or has a baby or, you know, has their arms full, and you see that situation around you and you say, I can help in this situation by holding the door. And that is a flavor of situational awareness. It just means mm-hmm. that you are, you know, cognizant of the things that are around you, the people who are around you, and their, you know, relation to you in whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a threat. It just has to be something worthy of your attention so you know how to respond appropriately. Some lady drops her purse, you don't run for the exit. Right? You know, responding appropriately to a given situation is key.
Well, I thought, again, that was the biggest takeaway for me too, was just that it's not about training kids to walk into a room and say, all right, kids, now what would be your nearest exit and what could you turn into a weapon immediately? And I mean, it wasn't so extreme. It was simply, you know, sort of a head on a swivel, look around and see what is different from what you would have expected it to be.
Right. It's not Jason Bourne.
And you're just keeping an eye on it then, right? For the most part, I don't know, 90% of the time, it was a completely neutral anomaly or a completely neutral difference. But being simply aware of that, I think, gives us an advantage.
So what are some of the things, David, that you really think are like some methods for sort of teaching? I mean, without sort of, you know, I mean, again, it doesn't have to be this sort of very lectury type of thing, but what are some of the things that you do that really help, could help dads and moms for that matter, really sort of raise a kid's awareness of their, you know, sort of, you know, their situation, their surroundings?
So we call it the game in our house, and we just say, all right, let's play the game, you know, and I always use Target because one, we're always there, but it's, it's such a ripe environment for...
It's an easy target, would you say?
it's an easy target.
Oh, there's a dad joke.
Dad joke!
But, so, it allows us a few things. I'm not just teaching him to pay attention to his environment, but also to understand societal norms. When you're in a Target, there's certain things you don't do. You don't run through the store. You don't scream. You don't do these other things, because one of the most important parts about situational awareness is also to not be the outlier. You don't want to draw attention to yourself either. You know, like, I think I used in the article, I'll usually task my kid to go get us ice cream, you know, so we could, you know, multitask. You go get the ice cream, I'm going to go get this, and then we'll meet at the checkout or wherever. And a little 8-year-old with his 4-year-old brother in tow running across the store, you know, is going to raise attention. Heck, these days, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old walking across the store trying not to raise attention is going to be suspicious to a lot of people. And a lot of people are going to say, hey, are you guys lost? Or, you know, they're going to try and intervene or interact with the children. And the other part of situational awareness is knowing how to respond to the situation changing, to that baseline changing. So if somebody asks my kid, what are you doing? He should be assertive and say, just getting some ice cream.
Right. Right. You know, and what's interesting to me now, having a child, teenager driving, situational awareness in a car and on the freeway and on the sort of in behind the wheel it sort of changes by orders of magnitude the sorts of things that you have to really be thinking about. And so you can imagine, as you will someday, sort of sitting in the car with your kids and, you know, sort of watching them go through that. And it was interesting to me because I thought my daughter did a really good, I thought she was really curious when I was driving and she was learning how to drive. And I wasn't ready to let her drive on the freeway, you know, right away, of course, when she got her permit. But, you know, she would ask me questions as we were driving. So she'd say, well, why are we doing that? Why did you get out of this lane versus that lane? And then she'd say, well, when do you, you know, when you're leaving the freeway, you know, when do you start thinking about that? You know, and so she was asking those questions. And so I think the environment that you're creating, David, is exactly that. So that when your sons are ready with their permit at, you know, 15 and a half years old, and they can sit behind the wheel, and you they will be asking you questions, and they're going to be observing you. I mean, this is really the thing about driving with a teenager too, is that they see you do everything. So put your phones away. I will just tell you, put your phones away and, you know, really focus on driving and talk about that. And, you know, it was really nice to hear from Eleanor when she was asking me about those things. She was saying, okay, so why did you change? And then I could say, well, I saw that I was going to have this opening you know, half a mile down the road. Because, you know, again, I'm doing situational awareness of like my relative position to other cars, trying to, you know, sort of, again, do the norms, you know, change lanes using your, you know, turn signal and all that stuff, and do that in plenty of it, you know, with advance notice. But it was really nice to see her and hear her questions like that. And I hope that's sort of, you know, where you're leading with that.
Yeah. And I it's funny you say that. Even now with my 8-year-old, I'll mention that sort of stuff in the car. So I'll say, hey, you see that guy up there? He's kind of drifting into other lanes. I'm going to stay back here. I'm going to get in a different lane just so we don't see
that guy some space.
I'll say, you know, when it's around holiday time and you see these backups on the freeway around the malls and stuff like that, I'll say, hey, do you see that far right lane? Do you see how all those lights are coming on over there? That means that traffic's going to stop really fast and I'm going to have to slam my brakes on fast. So I'm going to move over here. So I'll actually telegraph that to him. I wasn't even thinking about this is going to help you drive. I just, like, I'm trying to make conversation.
Yeah,
and it's going on.
But it's so funny because it goes back to way back when you're talking about kids and language, just the beginnings of their language. I mean, this goes, again, situational awareness starts from, you know, the conversations you're having in front of your children when they're young. I mean, even when my kids were tiny little infants and they didn't, I was like, oh, I'm going to make some coffee now and I'm doing these. I mean, like, you're sort of talking to yourself. I mean, because, you know, if you're home by yourself or you got your kid by yourself or whatever, there's another person in the room. They don't understand a word you're saying, but, you know, you're having this conversation. I mean, I do that with the dog now. I've mentioned this before.
Right.
But, you know, it's pretty fun because, like, I think the language that they pick up and their awareness of you and your awareness of the situation around you and how you sort of demonstrate it and then also sort of narrate it, like you're narrating what you're doing. And the narrative is, like you said, it's a little bit of just having a conversation. You want to have something going on in the car besides silence.
Yeah.
But also it sort of, I think, sets them up to start thinking that way.
Yeah. And kids are far more aware than they probably get credit for. I know, and my kids are so aloof all the time too, David. But, you know, if you've ever said something in one room and then a month later hear your kid repeat that, and you're like, I didn't even know you heard that. That's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they're absorbing it. They're very aware. I think they just don't know what to do with that or how to process that. And that's where I think Dave's method here and this game that you've created with your family helps them know how to process what they're absorbing.
It allows us the opportunity to, I like the part where we could talk about the norms, what that normal situation is, because it allows them to enter an environment anywhere and sort of pick up quickly, how am I supposed to act here? How do I not be awkward? How do I not just fit in, but how do I behave in a manner that's going to benefit me, right? You know, you don't want to be the outcast or the outsider because you just couldn't read the situation. You didn't read the environment well. So it's teaching those life skills, not necessarily where the exits are, but
sure,
you know, what everything else should look like. Situational awareness isn't just about the threat, but about that baseline, about what's normal.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it should feel like 95-99% of the time, it's just about being aware of the surroundings, the people that are there, the norms, the things that you are, you know, going to be expected to do. And then that 1% is sort of also saying, okay, this is really out of the band of what's normal. How do I either make it safe or get myself safe? You know, and because you do have to, I mean, unfortunately in today's world, we still have to sort of, you know, kind of think about that. And we do have to think about that. And that's a, you know, it's a sort of a sad statement by itself. But it's true that the more you build that muscle of, you know, the muscle of understanding situations around them and their surroundings, the more, the better they'll be able to adapt to something that is out of normal. Like if they see something that just doesn't look right, and they'll either be able to be assertive and say, talk to a grown up, or, you know, again, I don't know. Have you guys done, you know, the sort of Disney parks or anything like that, any of the big parks and things like that.
Sure.
So, you know, we had that conversation with our kids before we went to something like Epcot or, you know, Walt Disney World, about what to do if the situation were presented to them that they were lost. And so, you know, we had those conversations, like, I mean, when they were younger and we, you know, we really needed to keep an eye on them, it was sort of, hey, go find a mom with a stroller and say, you can't find your folks, you know, that kind of thing. Because you know a mom with a stroller is going to be, you know, or a dad with a stroller, somebody pushing a stroller, you could probably get, you know, some help that way.
It's funny you say mom, though. And David, I can't remember if you kind of cued me onto this or if it was somebody else that said that's what you should tell your kids is to find a mom, because there's just the chances of them being a predator is so much lower. They're more likely to help. Sorry, dad.
We said the stroller, though. We were very specific about the stroller.
Because somebody can tell they're a dad as opposed to just some guy.
Some random dude.
Because kids think of grown-ups as moms and dads sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
They think kind of all grown-ups have kids. So it's an interesting distinction.
But anyway. I think I might have mentioned that to you, like the tiers of safety, the people who are safe, you know, and this is generally speaking, I don't want to offend anybody, but the ladies, the older folks, people who have kids, people who are in the right environment. You know, when you're in a Target, people are shopping in a Target. You know, if they have a basket full of stuff that they're shopping for, they're part of the baseline. They're generally safe, whether it's guy or, you know, like...
Right.
Guy in a trench coat, I mean, if he's shopping for stuff, he's probably fine, you know, because you got to look at that baseline again. Every situation has to be read a certain way based on that environment. And it's funny you mentioned Disneyland, because we were just there a few months ago, and we did do this, and we were taken to the other extreme, because we were actually going to play games. Like, I'm teaching my kid how to blend in with the people in front of him so we could get pushed in front of lines and that kind of stuff. And no one's paying attention to the 8-year-old, right? You know, so the 8-year-old could get away with a little bit more.
Is there a little CIA agent in training?
No, yeah, and we were having a fun with it.
Sleeper cell over here.
Right?
Gosh.
Do you watch The Americans?
No, I've seen an episode or two, but...
You might like that one.
But, you just watch, and speaking of the movies, you watch the movies, and Jason Bourne specifically, he somehow remembers every single license plate on the highway for the last 20 miles. And you're like, okay, I get you're trying to go to the extreme and exaggerate what situational awareness is, but a little off base, but the idea is still the same. You know, we're not going to remember, not we, but people aren't going to remember every license plate for a reason. You should actually, driving down the road, ignore the Nevada license plates, because that's the baseline. That's the standard that we should...
I just learned something right there. I just learned... Right? That's good.
I got pulled over in Colorado driving Audi Q7, which is the Audi's higher-end SUV, in the middle of rural Colorado with Virginia license plates. Of course I'm getting pulled over, because the police officer's looking, saying...
That's abnormal.
That's abnormal to this environment.
Were you speeding?
He said I was, but I was at a stoplight. Come on. There's no way I was speeding. But he pulled me over, and here's why I know I wasn't speeding, because I handed him a Nevada driver's license and did not have proof of registration. But with my wife and a kid and a dog and a cat in the back of the car with basically all my belongings, he probably had sympathy for me or realized I wasn't the problem.
It's so. A perfect cover.
But that police officer, and police officers obviously have heightened senses of that situational awareness. He saw I was an anomaly of that situation, pulled me over to investigate further, realized, all right, all clear, and moved on with his day.
Yeah.
But for kids, though, like I said, it's not always identifying that threat, but being aware of everything. You know, being aware of opportunities to help others, opportunities to be a good citizen, opportunities to protect yourself. If a storm's blowing in, don't wait till it starts raining to get home, but get home as you know you have enough time. So just being aware of your situation is paramount to your security, paramount to your enjoyment of life.
Right. Well, I'm really glad you wrote the article. I think it's a great conversation starter, and I think it's the sort of thing that, you know, not a lot of people are thinking about in the terms that you've put it down and really given some concrete examples. I think that's the sort of thing that, you know, it's a good reminder to a lot of parents who are, that it is something, it's a skill that you can build. It's a sort of muscle that you can develop. It's a sort of thing that you can do as a fun sort of family game, like you've described it, but also... Teaching those skills doesn't take a lot of, it takes some effort, takes some thoughtfulness, but that's what we, you know, that's what we preach here. If we're preaching anything else here at the Reno Dads, is that, you know, an involved, you know, you're involved and you're consciously actively, thoughtfully, you know, mindfully doing the dad thing, and that's part of it.
And I think parents, we should be have that heightened sense of teaching our children these things to protect them as well. But I look at, you know, recent school shootings made me think of it so much more, because teachers also have to have a heightened sense of situational awareness, how to respond, how to do the right thing, because they're charged with protecting our kids too. And, you know, you hear these incredible stories about a teacher sacrificing themselves, you know, to make sure the children could get out, those kind of things, realizing this is what the situation calls for. This is how I have to act, you know, those kind of situations, or even down to the teachers locking the doors, barricading themselves into a classroom or putting their kids in the closet. Like, teachers have to also have that heightened situational awareness when they start hearing the pops, you know, the gunfire, or start hearing alarms going off, or these kind of things. They need to be able to consciously react, know what they're doing, have already thought about these things, and know the environment is changing, and get into the proper mode.
Right, right. Well, I think that covers a lot of ground. I think it's a really great topic, and I really thank you, David, for, you know, putting it out there. I think it's the sort of thing that we'd love to hear again. If you have some thoughts on this, some of our listeners, I'm sure, have some, you know, great ideas about how to teach this as a skill and how to really be thinking about it from day to day. But again, we want to prepare our kids not just to be great kids, but, you know, preparing them to be good grownups. And part of it is being situationally aware of their, you know, sort of surroundings and people around them and the situation that they're in. And this is just one of those things that I think, you know, it's another, you know, great area for dads to step up and take a really active role. Thanks a lot, David. You've been listening to the Reno Dads podcast on renodads.com. If you're in Reno, Nevada, you can also catch us on KWNK 97.7 FM. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Stop by renodads.com and click on Contact Us and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear on our show. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Reno Dads. And subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you'll join us here for our next episode, and we'll see you online at renodads.com.